Please take your seat. The tour will be starting shortly. Your guides for today's show will be myself, Dave Morris, and my colleague, Helen Steele.
We'll be showing you around this site. Unfortunately, technology is lagging behind at the moment, so you'll have to click on the yellow Next Stop button at the bottom of each page when you hear this noise. Next! Or this one.
Next!
To go on to the next page.
You can stop the audio at any time using your Real Audio controller to catch up or to view the page before continuing. Right then, let's go. First stop, the case.
Next!
In the late 1980s, Helen and myself were involved in a small campaigning group called London Greenpeace, not related to Greenpeace International.
The group participated in many different campaigns, one of which was focusing on McDonald's. London Greenpeace was circulating various leaflets, including a fact sheet called What's Wrong with McDonald's? Everything They Don't Want You to Know.
Next. This is the original fact sheet, which is the subject of the McLibel action. It contains everything they don't want you to know, and are now failing to stop you finding out. If you scroll down it, you'll see it's a wide-ranging criticism of McDonald's and their business practices. We'll go into the details exactly what the issues are about later on.
So in 1989, McDonald's sent private investigators to infiltrate London Greenpeace. I thought some of them were dodgy, didn't you?
No, they had me fooled. The next year, McDonald's served writs on 5 supporters of the group.
Next!
They expected us to back down and apologise like hundreds of others they'd threatened or sued before. That includes The Guardian, Channel 4, the Scottish TUC, the Vegetarian Society, the Independent, Green Groups, even a kids' theatre group.
There was no way I was going to apologise to them. As far as we were concerned, it was them who should be apologising to us for the damage they do to the environment, to animals and to humans.
Exploiting children through advertising. Promoting cash crops in the third world, not allowing unions for their workers.
But of course, we're both unwaged activists, so we don't have any money for lawyers or anything like that. We did get a couple of hours free legal advice, though.
Yes, and they told us how unfair the libel laws were. They said we wouldn't stand a chance against McDonald's and all their money, and suggested we might as well forget it, give in and apologise.
No chance. We feel people should stand up to bullies. So as we can't afford lawyers, we had to defend ourselves in court. For the last 2 years.
Not only that, but McDonald's got the court to rule that the issues were too complicated for a jury to understand, so we're now being tried by a single judge without a jury. The reality is that McDonald's realised the jury would understand the issues and would be outraged that such a case was allowed to be brought at all.
They had a jury in the Maxwell Brothers fraud case, which was 1,000 times more complicated.
Next.
As if they didn't have enough of an advantage, McDonald's then issued 300,000 leaflets throughout their UK stores on the eve of the trial, attacking us as liars. So we countersued them for libel. The two trials are running at the same time, and so they have to prove that the fact sheet was just pure invention and that we knew it.
We've been in the High Court now for over 200 days. It's been really exhausting, hasn't it?
We've just got no time or energy to do all the work we need to. My flat's full of piles of documents all over the place. It's already the longest civil case in British history, and we've got months more to go.
It could yet beat the record for the longest British trial of any kind. And McDonald's QC, Richard Rampton, one of the country's top libel lawyers, originally estimated it would take only 3 to 4 weeks. He thought he'd be able to wipe the floor with a couple of nobodies like us.
Well, what with their expensive team of lawyers and solicitors and unlimited resources at their disposal, McDonald's can get the best justice money can buy.
They've got all the cards stacked in their favour, so what's their problem? I suppose it must be something to do with us having truth on our side, eh?
Guess that must be it. Next! There's been 80 witnesses so far talking about everything from the bacterial cross-contamination of beef in slaughterhouses to the effect of Ronald McDonald on small children.
As we're cross-examining the witnesses ourselves, this means we have to try and become overnight experts on each different subject. Just reading all the relevant documents and details takes all of our time. And as I'm a single parent, I can't do any work at my place till I've put my son Charlie to bed. So I'm up till the early hours most nights.
The only real time we get to talk together about each day's work is on the tube in the morning on the way to court. We found there was a huge amount of public support for us. What McDonald's didn't realise when they served the writs on us is that it's not really me and Dave or London Greenpeace that they're taking on. The original fact sheet was a compilation of a vast amount of research carried out by lots of different movements, environmentalists, animal welfare campaigners, trade unionists, and so on. When we started compiling our case, we went back to all those movements to find key experts and other witnesses.
For example, on nutrition, we've got Professor Colin Campbell, who produced the world's most authoritative recent study of links between diet and cancer. We've also got the president of the US Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine and Science, Dr. Neil Barnard.
The UK Director of Friends of the Earth, Charles Secret, is giving evidence about his attempts to negotiate with a reluctant McDonald's over the problems of beef imports from rainforest countries.
And to deal with the effects of children's advertising, we called Sue Dibb from the National Foods Alliance, who have campaigned for years for bans on certain types of irresponsible TV ads. In fact, we have a wide range of authoritative experts and others to put over what's happening in the real world.
Next!
Now here's an example of one of our witness statements. This is Dan Gallin, and he's the General Secretary of the International Union of Food Workers. They've been compiling information about attempts by McDonald's workers all over the world to organise and to get trade union rights. None of our witnesses are being paid a single penny for their efforts. They are principled people who believe passionately in the truth, and they can see that this trial is a great way to get the issues into the public arena. They don't want to stand back and just watch transnational corporations dictate the message that gets through to the public.
There's tons of other stuff about the trial on McSpotlight. McDonald's original statement of claim in 1990, our long and detailed defence, details of pre-trial hearings, statements and press releases and so on. We couldn't have summed it all up better ourselves.
Any journalists amongst you might be interested in getting some stuff from the Great McQuotes section.
Next!
Some of the most classic things said in the witness box or anywhere else.
This is a good one. When we read out the excerpt from the London Greenpeace fact sheet about the links between diet and ill health, a McDonald's expert on cancer said, if it is being directed to the public, then I would say it is a very reasonable thing to say.
Well, I'd agree with that. But after that damaging admission, they had to change their line about what they've said we have to prove. In fact, as we prove each one of our points, they just used legal tricks to move the goalposts to make it even more difficult for us. You could also go to the McLies section. A few of the less than honest things McDonald's have come out with inside and outside court in recent years. It's amazing how companies churn out propaganda and a party line to deal with public controversy, just like politicians do.
That's what's so brilliant about this trial. When the executives are standing in the witness box, they can't wriggle out of answering our questions or pass it over to their PR department to think about for 3 weeks. This is one of the few times that multinationals have really had to face their critics.
Next. These McLibel trial news bulletins give detailed accounts of some of the most significant evidence heard. Every word is checked against the official daily trial transcripts and so can be relied on to be extremely accurate. At the moment, these documents only go as far as September 1995, but new ones will be coming out soon.
You can see how ludicrous some of the statements made by McDonald's executives and paid consultants were when we backed them into a corner.
And that leads us nicely on to the McQuiz.
Next.
This highlights some of the more absurd stuff representing the corporate line. For example, how can Japanese people become tall, blonde and white-skinned?
Why? By eating McDonald's hamburgers for 1,000 years, of course. Didn't you know?
Well, that's according to their Japanese chief, Den Fujita, quoted from their authorised McDonald's biography, Behind the Arches.
And if you get all the questions right, you'll qualify for a degree in hamburger allergy.
But if you get any wrong, you'll be forced to do a 90-hour shift on the grills.
Next.
We now move on to the issues, which is probably the most substantial and important part of the whole site. These are the reasons why we've been fighting McDonald's for 5 years through the courts.
The issues being argued about in the McLibel trial are the ones at the top. Nutrition, advertising and promotions, the environment, animal welfare and employment.
And the second section is of issues that have come out of the trial or are related in some way. McDonald's international expansion. Freedom of speech versus the libel laws. Multinationals and global trade. And capitalism and the alternatives. You can see why McDonald's gets so worried and tries to cover up the truth. For a company based almost solely on image, it's absolutely disastrous for the public to be made aware about the reality of their operations.
So they sue almost everything that moves within 50 miles of these issues.
They've successfully managed to use the absurd and oppressive British libel laws to create a climate of fear, so no one dares speak up against them. Or if they do, it doesn't get reported, and that is until now.
Next.
Now, if we can just sidetrack a little bit here, this is an early day motion that the MP, Jeremy Corbyn, put to the UK Parliament about how McDonald's uses the libel laws to suppress criticism and, quote, notes that apologies and damages have been obtained under false pretences after McDonald's lied about their practices, e.g. by denying using beef reared on its rainforest land, unquote.
They spend a fortune shoving their propaganda down everyone's throats, and yet they're desperate to stop people putting over an alternative point of view.
Next. Well, let's go and see what the fuss is all about. This is the top page of the nutrition section.
Lovely broccoli.
This is divided into sections so you can get the exact bit you're looking for. Within each group, you can go to related witness statements, press articles, books, reports, literature from other campaigning groups, or links to other sites.
Next. For example, this is a summary of a global report by the World Health Organization. It summarizes health professionals' growing concern that people are eating a more and more unhealthy junk food diet. And as a consequence, degenerative diseases such as heart disease and cancer are now increasingly common in many countries.
Some countries had virtually no history of such diseases until the introduction of a modern Western-style diet. This alarming document requires some careful reading.
Next. Moving on. This is an article that appeared in the Guardian newspaper in Britain on the 16th of September 1994. Almost all the press articles about McLibel have been collected on McSpotlight. They're indexed chronologically in the media section, which we'll go to later.
It's not just bad news in the issues section, though. In alternatives and opposition, you've got details of who's standing up for the truth, countering the food industry and so on. And there's links to other sites and contact details of campaigning groups. Let's have a look at some of the stuff McDonald's come out with.
As if people haven't seen enough of it, down every street we go, every time we switch on the TV. Oh, all right then.
Next.
Here we go. This is one of their so-called McFact cards about packaging. It publicises a scheme for customers to separate out their polystyrene packaging waste in some stores for the company to recycle it. Sounds very impressive.
Yes, but what actually happened?
According to McDonald's witness Ed Oakley, all the polystyrene waste was in fact just dumped along with all their other rubbish.
So it wasn't recycled at all. They're just conning people. Next.
Now we're on to the people. This is most of the people involved in McDonald's and in the McLibel stories. In the red and yellow corner we have Ray Kroc, the founder of the McDonald's Corporation, Paul Preston, the UK big boss, Richard Rampton, their QC, etc., etc.
And, in the green corner, we have some very dubious-looking dissidents. Would you trust any of us to run a multinational corporation? No, quite right. I wouldn't trust anyone to have that kind of power.
Each of these people have their own page, giving enough details for you to decide whether you can trust them as far as you can throw them.
For example, Mike Love, former PR for Margaret Thatcher, and now head of communications for McDonald's UK. Or Sid Nicholson, a former Metropolitan Police Chief and now McDonald's UK Vice President.
And, as if you haven't heard enough of us already, you could check out our Real Audio interviews. Or better still, the one with Vandana Shiva, India's most well-known ecological and anti-McDonald's campaigner.
Next.
Okay, the next part of the tour we'll be taking is the media section. It's interesting to see how the establishment media generally avoid dealing with the real issues. Usually they prefer to concentrate on the human angle.
They often get things wrong as well. I suppose any publicity is good publicity. but in this case not for McDonald's, who've done their best to keep this embarrassing case out of the media. Damage limitation, I think it's called.
So this is basically what the world's media thinks of McLibel and McDonald's. Press cuttings, books, reports, videos, QuickTime movies, television appearances, plays. Yes, there's even been two plays written about McDonald's. One of them got sued as well, though.
Next.
This is a well-researched report called Working for Big Mac, which was produced by an organisation called the Transnationals Information Centre. It gives all the details of what it's really like to work for the world's biggest food retailer. They were sued by McDonald's but couldn't afford the time or resources to fight the case, so they had to back down and pulp all the copies of the report. It's a complete scandal.
But now it's publicly available at last, here on this site.
A crucial part of the whole story is the legendary Jungle Burger documentary. Jungle Burger was made by the German filmmaker Peter Heller in 1983. It won loads of international prizes for exposing the rainforest hamburger connection. You can download the 30-second clip, but it'll take about 5 minutes, so perhaps it might be better to save that for a rainy day.
This clip shows Sergio Quintana, the marketing director of Co-op Montesios, McDonald's Costa Rican hamburger supplier. He's been asked about the country's beef exports to the USA. Costa Rican rainforests have been decimated by cattle ranching, mainly to produce beef for export. He's explaining how the industry works and states, "We supply McDonald's and Burger King in the USA. Channel 4 showed the film, but McDonald's sued them, and it hasn't been shown since in this country, although it continues to be shown all around the world." Right, let's get on to some action now. Next, here we have the campaigns section.
It may seem to many people as though McDonald's can strut all around the world doing whatever they like to whoever they like. But wherever McDonald's go, there's always opposition and resistance. The anti-McDonald's campaign has always been a grassroots campaign, and although press reports of the McLibel trial have tended to focus on the two little people against the corporation angle, the whole fight isn't about me and Dave. It's all the people out there opposing McDonald's wherever they appear.
The first bit of campaigns is internet action, which is stuff you can do right here, right now. Well, not while you're on the tour, of course.
The McLibel support campaign has been collecting names and addresses of people who are determined to keep handing out the leaflets, whatever the verdict at the end of the trial. There's already thousands of volunteers. In fact, over 1.5 million leaflets have been distributed to the public in the UK alone since the writs were first served on us. So it's clear the leafleting is unstoppable. Next. You can add your name to the pledge and email it back to McSpotlight, who will then pass it on to the McLibel support campaign. The more people who stand up to them, the more obvious it will be that they can't suppress free speech. This will show all other multinationals the writing on the wall if they should try to do the same.
Another highly effective thing people with sights are doing is picking up the McSpotlight kit, which is a 2 megabyte zipped version of the site, or so I've been told, and putting it up on their own home pages. The more people with McSpotlight on their pages, the more people will see it, and the less chance it has of being suppressed by any McDonald's bullying.
If you haven't got room to put up the kit, please pick up the link logo and just have a link instead.
The next section of campaigns is the countries.
We're not keen on those national flags because we want a world without state borders, but for now it's an easy way of dividing the information up into recognisable subsections.
Next. At the moment, there's 20 or so countries represented here, some pages of which are run by key local campaigners in that area. So, for example, this is the Norway page. It gives you all the details of past and future demonstrations, protests and news, contact details to get people hooked up, and then leaflets to print out in the relevant language.
So from here, you can get Galt med McDonald's, or What's Wrong with McDonald's in Norwegian. So people can print them off and get photocopying and handing them out.
There's loads of other stuff in this campaign section. Details of all the different campaigns going on around. McLibel support campaign, Kids Against Big Mac, Operation Send It Back, and so on. Then you've got all the different tactics used by these groups and the history of the anti-McDonald's campaign worldwide.
Next.
This is where you can get your anti-McDonald's merchandise. loads of different groups selling stuff here, T-shirts, stickers, videos, all the usual stuff. Print off your order form and send in your money.
Over the last 5 years, we've spent something like £25,000, mostly on witnesses' airfares, admin costs and buying transcripts. McDonald's spend about the same amount on the case every 3 or 4 days. But we always need more, so any donations will be gratefully received.
Next.
We'll just take a quick look at Beyond McDonald's, which is really just a statement. Obviously, campaigners don't just oppose McDonald's. All corporations exist to make profits out of exploiting the world's resources. McDonald's is a symbol of a whole economic and social system, especially because of their high profile, but the rest are just as bad.
Equally, I suppose, we've become a symbol of the other side, of the alternative voices and ideas which are usually concealed by the media and by the authorities. There's loads of stuff on the internet about other multinationals, and so there's lots of links to other good sites here in this site.
The last main section of McSpotlight is feedback, which is the debating room, free to all comers with something to say about the issues raised by McSpotlight. It should be a magnet for information, news and discussion. Please send in your comments.
Next.
So we'll leave you at the homepage. It's a fairly enormous site, this, so there's a search option at the top of the homepage. If you're looking for something specific, you can type in keywords to search the whole site.
Those cute little blue buttons will take you back to the main sections we've been through, if you want to start going into more depth. Alternatively, I'd suggest going to the McQuiz for some light relief. You're on your own now. No more yellow buttons to lead your way.
So if you'll excuse us, we've got a court to go to.